information.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Argentine football superstar Lionel Messi says he plans to bring his World Cup champion skills to Florida here in the USA, as we hear now from the AP's Gethin Coolbaugh.
Lionel Messi is taking his talents to South Beach. Messi is set to join Inter Miami CF of Major League Soccer in the United States. The club is owned by former English soccer star David Beckham. The 35-year-old Argentinian forward spent the last two seasons with Paris Saint-Germain in France after a storied 17-year career with La Liga side Barcelona. All told, Messi has scored 806 goals across 1,027 career matches, placing him second all-time behind Cristiano Ronaldo. Messi won his first World Cup title with Argentina at last year's event in Qatar. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Thanks, Gethin. Lionel Messi told Mundo Deportivo in Spain on Wednesday, and I quote, "I made the decision that I am going to go to Miami. I still haven't closed the contract 100%. I'm missing some things, but we decided to continue on the path." Major League Soccer issued a statement saying, and I quote, "We are pleased that Lionel Messi has stated that he intends to join Inter Miami and Major League Soccer this summer. Although work remains to finalize a formal agreement, we look forward to welcoming one of the greatest players of all time to our league." Now, barring contract complications, Lionel Messi could formally join Miami as early as July 5th when the MLS transfer window opens. It's not clear how much Miami will pay Messi. The package could include potential ownership stakes in the club and other revenues tied to television and merchandising. Lionel Messi turned down a reported multi-billion dollar contract offer from the Saudi club Al Hilal. In the Mundo Deportivo interview, Lionel Messi said, and I quote, "If it had been a matter of money, I'd have gone to Saudi Arabia or elsewhere. Lionel Messi owns a home in Miami." Among those reacting to the big Messi move to the USA was former U.S. men's national team player Alexi Lalas.
Anybody out there that can possibly paint this in anything less than a joyous moment of celebration and excitement has no soul. This is wonderful, obviously, for Inter Miami. This is wonderful for Major League Soccer. I think this is wonderful for American soccer. And it has the potential to be yet another seminal moment in the evolution of the game here in North America.
Lionel Messi's move to North America comes ahead of the 2026 World Cup, which will be staged in the United States, Mexico, and Canada. It's also the second time a player who has been described as the greatest of all time has come to the USA. Brazilian legend Pelé, who died last year at the age of 82, played for the New York Cosmos from 1975 to 1977. Lionel Messi also becomes the latest in a string of high-profile players to join Major League Soccer from Europe late in their career, following David Beckham, Thierry Henry, and Wayne Rooney, among others. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at VOAAfrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to VOAAfrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out VOAAfrica.com. Well, South Florida has been basking in sporty excitement. We have the Lionel Messi move to Inter Miami. The Miami-based Florida Panthers ice hockey team is playing the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Finals. And the Miami Heat is playing the Denver Nuggets in the National Basketball Association Finals. In action Wednesday night, the Nuggets defeated the Heat in Miami 109-94 to take a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals. Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray both had triple-doubles for Denver. Jokic finished with 32 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists. Murray added a triple-double of his own, game-high 34 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. Jokic's triple-double was historic. He's the first player in NBA Finals history to tally at least 30 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists. At the post-game news conference in Miami, Jokic was asked about the dynamic between him and Murray.
I mean, it's just respect to each other and relationship over the years and communication. And but it's not just us. I'm always saying, yes, we had a good games, but Christian Braun had amazing game. Bruce had a really good game. Jeff played really well, you know, so AG played really good. So it's not just us, it's a team. And like I said before, even the series started, Denver Nuggets need to beat Miami, not me or Jamal beat whoever is on the other side. We as a group need to beat them.
Nikola Jokic's teammate Jamal Murray was asked what he thinks when he sees that historic stat line from Jokic.
I think it speaks for itself. It speaks for itself, bro. How many times does he have to do that for, you know, you guys to believe in his game or our game or whatever? Like, he's doing it, so making it look so easy, you know, on good shooting, low turnovers, 2 block shots. Got great hands, great communication in the pick and rolls, and IQ and all that. So, like I said, we're running out of things to say. You know, he makes the game look easy, and like I said, the consistency that he's doing that with, not just the first time in finals that he's put up, he's done that before, and it's fun to play with, fun to watch, and be a part of.
The head coach of the Denver Nuggets is Michael Malone. Coach, is this the best game you've seen Jokic and Murray play together?
You know, I've been with Nikola for 8 and Jamal for 7 years now. And we've been, you know, we've had some pretty good moments, but not in the NBA Finals. And for those guys to make history the way they did tonight, no one's ever done that. I mean, that's what's really neat about it. You get the win. I thought our defense was fantastic tonight. You hold that team to 94 points, 37 from the field, only 11 threes. You know, that really helped us out tonight, the defending and rebounding at a high level. But by far their greatest performance as a duo in their 7 years together.
Game 4 of the NBA Finals will be Friday night in Miami, Florida. Miami star Jimmy Butler, who tallied a team-high 28 points in Game 3, talks about what the Heat will need to do better in the next contest.
We feel great. We didn't play our best tonight. I feel like we just got to come out with more energy and effort, and that's correctable. That's on us as a group. No X's and O's can fix that. So, you know, come out, dive on the floor, get loose balls, get defensive rebounds, and maybe, just maybe, it would have been a different game.
Miami's head coach, Eric Spoelstra, says it's a challenge to defend a dynamic duo like Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray.
Yeah, it's a great duo. You know, but their games really complement each other. You have one guy that's, really can score in a lot of different ways. Another guy who's setting great screens or handoffs. And then if the ball gets back to him, he can get a bunch of people involved. And certainly at the beginning of the game, that kind of set the tone. But then from there, we lost a lot of physical 50-50 or ball in the air, ball on the floor battles throughout the course of the game. At key moments, when the moments could have been swing moments, they were coming up with those plays. You have to expect that, not losing the battles. You have to expect there to be elite talent in the finals. And both those guys are elite-level talent. At our best version, we've find ways to overcome that, make it tough on them, and then certainly not lose the overwhelming majority of those physical battles, the 50-50 battles, the ball in the air, ball on the floor battles, and that made it too much to overcome. The dynamic of those two, but also getting all the extra effort points.
That's Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Miami Heat basketball team. The Denver Nuggets defeated the Heat on Wednesday night 109-94 to take a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals. Game 4 is Friday night in Miami.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Voice of America. The Voice of America was once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, which wrapped up its third season on May 27th in Kigali, Rwanda. The VOA flexed its multilingual muscles and broadcast the BAL games on radio in English, French, Portuguese, Bambara, and Kinyarwanda. During our Nothing But Net VOA BAL podcast, I discussed the league's season 3 with my VOA colleagues, Sheck Tierro and Mukbil Yabaro.
Every single season, the BAL has shown that it continues to get better and better. The quality of the players, the quality of the coaching, the atmosphere, the fan perspective, the engagement, so many different things. I feel like, speaking just from the perspective of being able to watch it, but having Sheck being there, Sheck, talk to us what the arena environment was like in Kigali.
Mukbil, it was a tremendous moment. It was celebrity NBA stars, these ball elevate players, Sonny, it was a lot of event around this event in Kigali that really exposed more than just basketball, that I really seen some very interesting things going on there. It was the best time for basketball season three because everybody see grow. You just mentioned the talents-wise. We see that it grew talent-wise, competitiveness-wise, and economy-wise because they started with COVID, you know. It was in the bubble, then the out, you know, started from the bubble, and then now we hear that in Kigali. It was really good. There was sold out. Gym was very hard to get ticket. Apparently, this ticket is bought ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And so it was really crunch. When you come to the gym late, you're going to get in a lot of traffic, man. You might miss whatever you got going on in there. You know what I mean?
Shaq, how much credit do you give Rwanda's president, Paul Kagame, for the atmosphere in Kigali?
Oh, man. Sonny, he was... He's love sports. He got a basketball court. I think if you go to his house, he got a basketball court. He likes to take you in there, show you some hoops. And so that's the president they have. And he come in, like we saw that Rwanda was out the first round, you know, Saturday they was out. But he still came to the final.
Right.
And he came with his staff and he come to sit on the fans and on the bleachers. Yeah. He didn't even come to the front. So sports is like, and all his minister of sports, everybody around him love sport. No, this guy really love sports. And he's trying to use sport as a soft power, like we all know, to touch Africa and give visibility to Rwanda. I think he's doing a tremendous job. And, you know, put Rwanda on the map. Rwanda will never be left out from this Basketball Africa League, even going forward.
Quick follow-up, Shaq. Heard some rumblings that maybe South Africa could host a window of the Basketball Africa League in 2024. Do you see that as a possibility?
Yeah, I think that's a very big, big possibility. We get to see Brent. You know, Brent of is the guy, the operation court for the Basketball Africa League. He mentioned, people mentioned some stuff about the court have been really the best in Kigali to take care, Egypt to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And also, there's been talk around about how, you know, operational-wise is a little difficult. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but, you know, it's so many stuff around it. I'm not saying Egypt's not the right place to do it, but they're looking elsewhere to see if they can do something. But South Africa will be the best for sure because the NBA Africa headquarters is in South Africa, we all know. And who know? Maybe Burkina Faso or somewhere else or Egypt or... me personally, I want them to go to Ethiopia.
Yeah.
So they can have Ethiopians get interested in basketball as well. And by having big teams going to their town and having a team.
What about Somalia, Mukbil? I know Giants of Africa built a basketball court in Mogadishu.
I think it would be exciting, as Shaq mentioned, for it to honestly be anywhere, right? Whether it's South Africa, Ethiopia, Somalia, whatever makes the most sense for, you know, the game to continually expand. I think the key to the Basketball Africa League should be that it shouldn't necessarily be set countries that host it every year. Mm-hmm. Maybe have this kind of a tournament. You know how similar to like a March Madness or something, or even NBA All-Star Weekend is, where you continually have different countries hosting it so that the entire continent can get excited about it. As we've seen, Stade Malien did great. Have it in Mali. You know, like the game is there.
Somewhere,
you know, the game is there. So I think maybe having the partnership between the NBA and other organizations like Giants of Africa to set up shop. I know Cameroon in Yaoundé recently just had a from Joakim Noah's family's foundation just did a basketball court over there as well. Mm-hmm. So having something along those lines would be interesting, I think.
Sport League greetings. This is Godwin Owinji, co-founder of Giants of Africa, international scout with the Brooklyn Nets. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Let's take a look at some of the top players during this Kigali phase of the Basketball Africa League. Kaman Malawak, the young man from South Sudan. I know you had a chance to talk with Luol Deng, Shaq, when you were in Kigali. What are his future prospects, this young man, Malawak?
Yeah, Malawak, this young man is 7 feet, you know, that can run on the court. He's only 16, right? Or I don't know how old, but he's really young.
16.
They started. We saw Isdwan start him two times in a game, in a big game, and he slashed the rim, and everybody thought he was going to really do some crazy stuff in there. It was exciting to see.
Yeah.
You can see that this is some talent, hijack talent for Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, but Luol Deng, you know, we all know he's been the head coach for the South Sudanese national team that's going to the World Cup, and he's really... put his feet back in Africa on the ground and trying to help with development with the kids, you know, and putting them together. Not only South Sudanese, but he's got building several gyms in Africa, and as you mentioned, and he's going to continue. His goal is to build every place he touches in Africa in a basketball floor in there, which is very good. But South Sudan, we see they've been really good in this league all overall. We have they get together, you know, and we saw Majok, we saw Nuni with all the Sudanese and Malek that's there, and they're trying to mentor this kid, Sunny, because this is kids, players and coaches, players who've been there, done it, you know what I'm saying? Right. They're trying to give them.
Give the baton back to the kids
to take it over by doing something that they haven't had the chance to do it.
Right.
You know, that's the goal from this mentorship. Luol Deng have it, and many other players that have it, the same vision to do. Right. We expect to see them because a lot of people think, oh, if Joel Embiid, you out of NBA playoff, you out of be on this place and call, just 100%. Show up. You know, don't wait until you retire and show up because, you know, some people say that. Don't retire and then go. Right. Go while it's happening right now, and that will give a lot of more visibility to these things, and that's very important.
That would have been a great move. Yeah. I mean, you know, if Embiid had gone to Kigali, I think it would have been a great promotional move.
Yeah, Siakam, they've been out on the playoff.
Right.
This is stuff that it will be very nice to have them come, you know, drain the veteran players like Luol Deng, you know, Joakim Noah, and we see many players in Miami from Benin that was in Washington. All these players trying to give back. In Miami, told me he's going to looking to bring Benin team in there.
That's amazing.
And that would be something good because he got a capability to do it and financial ability to put some team together personally on his own. You know, it would be good to have some.
I like that point that you brought up, having either Joel or Pascal or players that are connected to the continent to go after they lose, because we saw, you know, Kevin Durant, after he was out of the playoffs, he went to FIBA World Championships to go there and support and watch the game. So it's not as if they can't do it. The question is, do they want to do it, or do they feel as though, you know, there's a disconnect between them being active players and then going back home, as if that's like the retirement plan? It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I think, like you mentioned, if something like that happens and they go there while they're still active, imagine if the MVP of the NBA is sitting there watching the game. What type of exposure this would have helped assist.
A lot of attention it would be toward this league.
Yeah.
But overall, a lot of players, Sunny, they might get an opportunity to go to the D League. We saw one that was signed during the to go to... I think it's a Sacramento King team.
Okay.
The press release came recently. I can't think of the name right now. Yeah. He was signed. Ball have the press release about it. He's going to Sacramento. He's a kid from Ball.
Yeah.
And don't be surprised if we see more players from this. I heard a rumor about Janja Kouassi.
Okay.
Janja from Iceland.
Yeah, yeah, Boise.
That might join NBA D League. Okay. Many more players can join.
Yeah.
You know, that's the goal of exposing this kid to show their talent. We saw him. Had a tremendous competition, you know, and that's one of the players on the list, you know, also.
Cool.
Muckbill, I heard you use the phrase MVP.
Yep.
Let's give a shout out for, Sheck mentioned him too, Nuni. Nuni Omot. He was named MVP of the 2023 Basketball Africa League season. South Sudanese forward for Al Ahly.
It feels amazing, honestly. I couldn't have done it without my teammates. They gave me a lot of confidence. Coach, you know, he gave me a lot of confidence. He let me play. He let me beat me, play my game. Without that, you know, obviously nothing would have happened if that mattered. So,
deserving of the MVP trophy.
Yeah, I personally think he was, you know, finals MVP is always one of those things where, you know, you have to make it to the final dance to get that MVP.
Yeah.
So I feel like, he definitely had a great tournament. He played excellent for Al Ahly. A lot of coaches were trying to, you know, stop him and neutralize him.
Yeah.
And other players were trying to step up as well. But putting up 22 in the finals, he was able to win for them. I think, though, there should also be maybe another award for a player that, you know, like the player of the tournament that maybe doesn't happen to win it. I think Aliyu Diarra from Stade Malien, all-team offense, all-team defense.
Absolutely.
The only player, if I'm not mistaken, that was all first-team ball, both offense and defense.
Yeah.
The kid is an amazing talent. Talk to us a little about Aliyu Diarra from Stade Malien.
Yeah, I will give a credit to Nuni. Nuni is my understanding of basketball, Mukbil and Sunny. He's a big guard that's very well skilled around this league, left and right. He's very crafty as a big man. That I give it to him a lot. You know, he put this Al Ahly team on his back and to get them where they are today. We had interview him after the show. And also Ali Jara is a player that's very athletic. We've seen that he's been watching after our conversation with him, you know, on Bambara. He's been watching this league 2 years now, and he came in with a mindset of dominating, and he run really. He told me most of his workout is running and jumping.
Mm.
Wow. You know, running and jumping and jump shots.
Right.
Running and jumping and jump shots. So you can
trifecta.
Yeah. As a big man, I mean, he's 6'10". He's probably a little bit same height as me or a little taller.
Right.
I've been around him in Chinyulu. They're both right there. Mm-hmm. He's really tough. The kids don't give up. The kid have high motor, jump higher than most players getting around, and he doesn't take no playoff in the game. You know, he run fast tremendously on the court.
Yeah.
You know, he outrun all the big men around him and get a dunk every time.
Right.
He recorded 7 double-doubles, 7 games in the whole league, and it's very admirable to see a player like that, you know.
This is Nothing But Net on The Voice of America. I'm Sonny Young, along with
Mukbil Yabaro and Shaq
Tiero.
And Shaq, you know, you were talking about conversations you had in Kigali. I know you had a chance to talk with Amadou Gallo Fall, the Basketball Africa League president. Do you want to set up that interview?
When we had a chance to talk to him on about how where ball is going from here and about women involvement in sports, let's take a listen.
All those great players, the great names that have paved the way in terms of African players in the NBA, Hakeem Olajuwon, Dikembe Mutombo, Manu Ball, those pioneers. We've seen, the next generation, the next wave is Lou Alderweireld, Ibaka, Joakim Noah and the likes. And then, you know, with the launch of Basketball Without Borders in 2003, a camp that is a flagship in terms of basketball development and community engagement for the NBA and FIBA. We've seen over a dozen players get drafted out of this camp, among them Joel Embiid, who is this year's MVP for the NBA, Pascal Siakam, who was both of those young men from Cameroon, Joel in 2011 and Pascal in 2012, the Gorgui Jang. It's a long list.
For the answer, I know we touched this in our press conference, and it's going to be about women, and that is extremely important for our continent women, and we see that they're doing really good and Afro at a world stage level. And what vision in investing in young women basketball players across Africa? Can there be any Women Basketball Africa League? And what if there is, do you have time?
Yeah, so again, we want to stay consistent in all our commitment to grow the game of basketball across gender. You know, and then this is what we've done through the camps that we talked about, whether it was Basketball Without Borders or all the regional camps we organize, is for both boys and girls. So, you know, the growth of the game, increasing the number of participants and growing a fan base cannot happen without being very involved also in making sure that girls have equal access to playing the sport. So we started in terms of this professional league, the Basketball Africa League, with the men's league. But ultimately, you know, I have no doubt that there will be a day where we'll have a league for the women too.
This was Amadou Gallo Fall from Kigali. We had a chance to speak with him and about how they're planning to add women to this league, Sunny. It might be a long process, but that's one of the images they want to have, women leagues.
Yeah, I think the BAL and Amadou Gallo Fall, they've been very proactive in promoting, gender equity and women's initiatives. I think they had the Ball for Her, Mukbil.
Yeah, Ball for Her is an amazing initiative, as we heard Amadou Fall talking about it, saying that ideally it would be the next thing in line for the continent. We also have, Masai Ujiri's Giants of Africa that is doing a lot of initiatives for young women as well, making sure that the game is going to the masses, and not only the boys, but the girls are also getting excited about the game too. So it's an exciting time to be in Africa and Africa sports in general.
Thanks, Mukbil Yabaro, and another VOA colleague, Shaq Tiero, join me for a special VOA podcast, Nothing But Net.
And that wraps up the June 8th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.